Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy three-hour program light up today. First of all, hope everybody had a great couple of days, Christmas Eve and then Christmas yesterday. And a lot of sports, obviously, to kick around and a busy week 17 to dive into as well. Great guest today on the program, Mee O'Brien, who's covered the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville for many, many years on the program in 30 minutes. John Acorsi, one of nine survivors left at Circa Survivor in the contest here for $18 million, going to join us in an hour. And Brad Powers, professional bettor on bowl games and the quarterfinals coming up in about 90 minutes. How was your day yesterday, Pauly?
All right, good. Good. You?
Not too bad.
All right, Happy New Year.
Yeah, well, yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
You have some ham with ketchup?
My wife made lamb.
Oh!
And I've always been like a hit or miss guy with lamb. Best lamb I've ever had in my entire life.
All right.
Phenomenal.
Awesome.
And this is turning into like Thanksgiving Day leftovers. Give me the leftovers, man. Inject it right into my veins. Can't get enough. So we do have, again, we're going to react to a lot of what happened yesterday. But now the news in the NFL, a couple things to begin the show. So they flexed this game tomorrow night, primetime, in Green Bay, thinking that this was going to be an absolute doozy of a contest, and the ratings were going to be off the charts. It's the NFL, Saturday night, sure, they're still going to be good. But instead of Lamar Jackson against Jordan Love, we're going to get Huntley versus Willis.
Yeah.
Love has been ruled out. That's official.
Yeah, well, no reason to play him anyways, as you clinched a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how Huntley does for Baltimore with their season on the line, impacts the Steeler game as well and what they do. And that has moved. That's Cleveland down to three. Good breakdown from McKay when he was in here as well. But the season from hell for Baltimore, and Green Bay still sneaks in there after their issues and all their injuries. So likely to be the seventh seed, but I know you like him a lot and he's played well when he's been in there. Tip of the cap to LaFleur about how good he's looked, and we'll see if they can keep Henry on the field for much of the game for Baltimore, if they can maybe show up and win this one.
So this point spread has kind of been all over the map, now settling in at the moment around 3.5, pretty much across the board, the way it appears on the screen anyway. Total is at 38.5. I'm okay with Willis. I really am. Huntley, I would have preferred the version of him 2 or 3 years ago, probably. But in a do or die game, not going to get either one of those guys. And you're right. Like, what does it really mean for Green Bay now that the Lions have been eliminated from the playoffs and they're going to be in? And I think this is a what could have been season for both these teams, but specifically Green Bay, because they were the injury monster just would not stop around this team. It's crushed them overall. And then you have that. And what's going on out here between the Raiders and the Giants when they play one of two late games on Sunday afternoon? That's it. It's that game at the same time as the Bills and the Eagles. Who's going to play in this game? Max Crosby, now the latest to be ruled out here for the Raiders. The team made the decision. This is on the heels of them shutting down Brock Bowers for the season yesterday, placing him on IR.
Yeah.
And I was thinking when the news first came out today that both Evan Neal and Andrew Thomas on the offensive line, certainly Thomas now ruled out for the Giants, I'm like, well, this is going to be a huge game for Max Crosby. I want to bet him to dominate and maybe have a couple of sacks in the contest. But now they're telling us that he's been hurt since October. I mean, the BS is getting pretty deep out here in Las Vegas between these two teams and this game anyway.
I like the Giants, but this is the worst game in NFL history. It's 2-13 against 2-13, and the first time ever both teams come in on a 9-game losing streak. The Raiders have been in this spot many times and go out and win for whatever reason and blow it. But the Giants were in this position last year and decided to win and upset the Colts with Locke. But the Raiders are coming off a strong performance where they hung in the game and almost pulled a huge upset. The Giants are off an embarrassing performance where, for whatever reason, they didn't throw the ball until late in the second half. But I think the Giants now the favorite is the right play, and I think the Giants will win. And can the Raiders then lay down against Kansas City and lock in the number one pick?
I think
they can.
I think the angle here, clearly nobody wants to play in this game. I think the angle here is betting the under.
Oh, boy, it could be turnovers.
I did that right before the show started.
Yeah, well, how are they going to move it without Bowers? Can they get Genty going? He played well last week, but...
Well, plus we have no idea what the game plan is going to be for the Giants.
Yeah, right.
That was a mess last week.
Yeah, I think you at least have to try here after what they did last week. So I would.
Yeah, but they, who wants to win it, though?
The game. Yeah.
They're both shutting down.
I know. Someone's
got to
win the game, though, Mitch.
Paul,
I take the Giants.
Here's the. No, I get that. But why does there have to be points? Why does there have to be a touchdown? Only one book has it up right now. No touchdowns, 100-1.
Yeah, I don't think it. I don't think it's going to be that egregious. What could happen with the tank? I just think the Giants can move the ball finally on offense, and they can actually try. Unless that nonsense last week as well.
Again, go back 3 weeks ago. If you would have told me, hey, the Giants are going to be a pick'em, knowing what we knew at that time, they'd be a pick'em or a 1-point favorite, I'd be like, oh my God, this is clearly all about the Giants in this game.
Yeah.
Now I have no idea what to make of it.
We start with a bang tomorrow. I mean, this game tomorrow is awesome. If the Chargers win, they play the Broncos on the road for the division. They've won 7 of 8. They've been on fire. If the Texans win, they're in. If they lose, they have to get a Colts loss on Sunday. Let me read this to you. This is good, and I like the Chargers. They asked Herbert about this, and it still haunts me, and I think about it. No one felt worse than I did after that game. It's important to move forward and realize what happened, but it'd be crazy of me not to deny the truth and live in the reality where if I tried to block it out, I don't think that's doing any good. He was the first player in history to throw more interceptions in a playoff game than did in the regular season. 4 picks, a pick six, and they were blown out in the playoff loss. Numerous guys have said they've had this circled, and this is payback for the Chargers tomorrow afternoon against the Texans. And they're up to 2 now.
You love to hear that, don't you?
Oh, what great quotes. Great quotes. I mean, it's so handsome after how bad he played. Players, Herbert, and also it's the ultimate kicking matchup, too, with Dicker against Herbert, Dicker against Fairbairn.
Right.
And the best trend going in sports, 25-3 overrun. 1.5 made field goals for Fairbairn. He's $1.70 right now at Caesars to go over 1.5.
Well, certainly, and if the price is right, you're going to be playing both kickers to have a 33-plus yard field goal in this game as well, which will be probably pushing $2 at the Westgate.
It's 180.
Is it 180?
You can go 35 yards, $1.40 at Caesars. You want to do that.
We do have to remember that, again, when this Chargers team recently played Philadelphia on that Monday night game, he was sacked 7 times.
Yep.
Now, they played a couple of games since, but against this front now for the Texans, man, that's going to be this is another one where it's 39.5. I understand that, but.
Yeah, I'm with you on the under.
Like 16,
if you're going that direction.
16, 13, something like that.
Yep. Number one defense against number 3 total defense. And you're right. Can they protect them? Because they are last in the league at win rate with the offensive line, pass block win rate. So that's the question number one. Can they hold up and protect them? And I don't know. And I have to see a better performance out of Stroud, too.
No doubt.
After how bad he played.
I think this is going to be a dream come true for you, potentially, with the kickers. And for those books that offer, like, in fact, the more we talk about it here, you can probably find, like, combined field goals made in the game, ladder that, go 4.5, maybe even 5.5.
I was disappointed with what I saw.
Oh, you were?
Very disappointed. What do you think each team to make 4 field goals is?
Each team to make 4 field
goals? Each team, 4 field goals.
That's
two of the best of all time here.
That's got to be okay. So now you're asking me, so I'm going to come down quite a bit.
Yeah, because I'm disappointed. You know,
it's got to be at least 10 to 1, 15 to 1.
It's 10 to 1.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Come on. You know how hard that is?
Yeah, that's very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anything's possible. So that was right with how many there could be. We had that Dallas-Detroit game that was, what, 9, I think?
9,
in
I
that
think.
Game, right.
Right. And Aubrey missed one yesterday. I know it was from 58, but.
Right. Right.
It doesn't matter. Whenever he misses, it's going to catch you by surprise. So if the Chargers win, like you said, they're alive to win the division. What do we make of the Denver Broncos at this point?
I agree with the tweets. The worst 13-3 team in NFL history. No doubt about it. I mean, you got a third string quarterback making his first start. Your life and death to win that game. You should have lost to the Jets in London. You should have could have lost to the Raiders. Not once. Well, the second one was close, but the field goal meaningless, we thought. The Thursday night game. With the Raider performance, they had so many other. They almost lost to the Titans to start the season.
Easily could have lost to the Commanders not that long ago.
Yeah. Now, do they get the one seed? Right. Do they get the one seed? But it's just there's just something missing from this team offensively, and you don't know what Bo Nix you're going to get. Now, the comeback is the defense is nasty, and you had the punt return, the bogus PI call, and the Nix interception. But I'm still worried about Peyton and the play calling. I mean, I don't know what Chris Jones is doing. They're not going to run a play there.
Right.
Or at least don't bail him out. That's silly. You're a veteran. Watch the ball. But it's also read the room, Peyton, where Kansas City's not going to score unless you hand them points or make a mistake, and they can't move the ball, and you come out throwing on first and second and third down when you're backed up. And on third down, they had the interception. that led to the touchdown.
Let's not forget they also were getting blasted in the fourth quarter at home to the Giants.
That's another good
one. And it was a miracle to come back and win that game. Put it this way. I don't think there's going to be a single team in the AFC intimidated to go to Denver and play in the playoffs. Not a single team. You think?
Well, it's huge if the Chargers can win out. I mean, imagine Denver blows this division. That would be an incredible story and a great job by Harbaugh.
I honestly, like a team like Pittsburgh, they won't be intimidated to go to Denver. You think Josh Allen's going to be shaking in his boots? Jacksonville just went there and killed them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You think that's going to be, or last week, you think they're going to like be shaking on that flight to Denver? Oh my God, what are we going to do against this defense? Of course not. They're going to be ultra confident. This team can be had, no question.
How about 2 8-minute drives that result in field goals? I mean, you go by, what, 98? They showed it on the screen. Last time that happened with the Broncos, 1998.
Yeah.
You have 8-minute, 9-minute drives, and you can't punch it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the decision there to throw 3rd and 1, it's just bizarre play calling by Peyton all season long.
Yeah. How about the top 2 seeds in the AFC if it lands Denver and New England? I don't think anybody's going to be intimidated to play either one of those teams. Great stories with both of them.
Yeah.
New England's schedule, obviously, comes into play here. It's the season to come together over your holiday favorites at Starbucks. Warm up with a creamy caramel brulee latte. Had one of those yesterday. Absolutely delicious. Get festive with an iced gingerbread chai or share a velvety peppermint mocha. And yes, I did go to Starbucks on Christmas Day. Place was absolutely swarming. Together is the best place to be at Starbucks. NBA reaction up next. It appears as if the champs have one glaring issue. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So, Paulie, here is your scenario, or both scenarios, with the Texans game tomorrow and also the Colts-Jags on Sunday. If the Texans win Saturday, the Colts are eliminated. They would have nothing to play for on Sunday. If the Chargers win, the Colts would still be alive. But if the Chargers win, obviously, that would help out Jacksonville, give them a little bit of a cushion there at the very top of their division against Houston. And to discuss it a little bit further here, Mia O'Brien joins the program, ESPN Radio in Jacksonville, at Mia O'Brien on Twitter, and she's on the Progressive Guest Line. Merry Christmas, Mia. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Merry Christmas. Appreciate hopping on with you guys on December the 26th. Nowhere else you'd rather be.
Yes, well said. So under either one of those scenarios, my guess is Jacksonville's not going to take it easy, right? If they have the cushion over Houston or if the Colts are eliminated, they're like pedal to the metal right now. Let's take care of business over the last 2 weeks, right?
Yes, because they have not, while they have clinched a playoff spot, they have not clinched home field opportunities to host during the postseason. So they still need to win the division crown in order to host at least one home playoff game. And of course, if they win out and they get some help from, oh boy, the Jets and the Patriots up in New England over the weekend, or I guess up at MetLife, I forget where that game is exactly. But point being, if the Patriots lose one more game to either the Jets or the Dolphins, and the Broncos lose to the Chargers, in addition to the Chargers beating the Texans, then the Jaguars would also earn the number one overall seed in the AFC. So still a whole heck of a lot to play for. They want to host throughout the postseason in Duval County.
All right. So what's been the biggest difference here? Is it as easy as saying Liam Cohn's a first-year coach and he deserves all the credit in the world? Because as I was telling you in the break, like it's wide open this year, but I'm convinced this team can absolutely win the AFC. What's been the biggest reason for the turnaround here?
Yeah, I mean, he's the logical finger to point at in that direction. We were told in the offseason that this roster had a lot of thermometers. They had a lot of guys who, if you could just raise the temperature around them, create a growth mindset mentality, you would see different results than the 4 wins from Doug Peterson's final campaign in Jacksonville. And of course, a 2-10 mark in one possession ball games. I brought it up to you guys as I came on the air during the break, but ultimately what's most impressive to me for Liam Cohen in year one is that the Jaguars have not one, not two, not three. It is, I believe, if I'm looking at this right now to make sure I'm saying the right stat to you guys, at the very least it's five wins by two possessions or more, comparatively to the Denver Broncos currently in the one seed in the AFC, who, as we heard last night, now 11 and 0 in one possession games. They're kind of the Kansas City Chiefs of 2024, reincarnated here in 2025. That's not the case with the Big Cats. The Jaguars have continued to just pummel teams, especially since their bye week and especially since the acquisition of Jakobi Meyers from the Las Vegas Raiders at the trade deadline.
Oh, great, great move. Great move. You know, sometimes a loss can help. As Mike McDonald said, it was a wake-up call for the defense and the team when they lost at home to Tampa. How about that performance in London when they got blasted 35-7 by the Rams? Since then, they've won 7 of 8, and the loss was the Mills meltdown in Houston.
I was going to say, I'll take it one step further. I think that the Rams game was certainly a wake-up call, but at least in talking to players in the locker room leading into that trip to the UK, you could sense a team that was tired, that needed a break. That's very different than the team that came back from Houston after that disappointing loss, that blown lead in the third quarter to Davis Mills you alluded to. That has become the rallying cry of this team, especially in the fourth quarter of ball games, to not take your foot off the pedal, that the game is not won until the clock hits double zeros. And that has been, whenever there's been moments of adversity, the game that is brought up, not the 35-7 loss to the Los Angeles Rams. It's that loss to their AFC South rivals, who as of right now are just as much alive for the AFC South crown as the Jacksonville Jaguars are, even if the Big Cats have one game ahead of them in the standings.
So during that playoff run, was it 2022?
Yes, 22 was the playoff run.
There was a stretch where Trevor Lawrence was winning a lot of people over and playing unbelievable football for him, the best of his career. But I would actually think, and you've covered him the whole time here,
yes,
he's in the middle of the best football he's played ever, right, to date at the pro level.
Yes.
And you mentioned Jakobi Meyers. Was that kind of where it just started to flip for him?
I think that Trevor was already growing more accustomed to Liam Cohen's scheme. It wasn't just a matter of learning his fourth offensive scheme in the past five seasons, if we want to go all the way back to Clemson. And I'm not even including interims and Press Taylor taking over play calling for Doug Peterson and how the offense shifted under Taylor being the play caller the last two seasons. I think that even more than just the Jakobi Meyers acquisition and the scheme change, it was that Trevor went to Liam Cohen early when he arrived in Jacksonville in January and said, I want to change my footwork. And there's other nuances of my actual physical performance that I need to change, that I wanted to change in years past, and it just never came to fruition. And so I've likened it, and you can take the analogy as it is, I've likened it to Tiger Woods when he made the decision after winning the 1997 Masters tournament to adjust his swing, accepting that for 18 months he may not win a single tournament, but when he came out on the other side of it, he would win the Tiger Slam. Now, Trevor Lawrence has not won the Tiger Slam, to be clear. But at the same time, I think you're already starting to see way earlier than many of the quarterback gurus around the National Football League who I spoke with said we'd expect to see. You're starting to see the fruits of the labor of that shift that he had in his actual mechanics, let alone the offensive scheme, which, yes, absolutely benefits from the acquisition of Meyers from the Las Vegas Raiders. He is a Los Angeles Rams wide receiver without ever having played for Sean McVay. When it comes to the dirty work underneath, those in-breaking routes, a high catch rate, he checks every single box. He's a pro's pro. My favorite anecdote with Jakobi is that when he first arrived in Jacksonville, I asked him who he was most excited to play with. And he said Tim Patrick, the number five wide receiver for the Jags. Of course, he's been around the league and is also regarded as a pro's pro who can play all three wide receiver positions and does everything the right way. And now you've got two pro's pros in that room to allow Brian Thomas Jr. to not necessarily be the focal point of this offense, still be an important mechanism, but at the same time, take some of the pressure off of the former first rounder.
Do you expect them to move the ball and get what they want on Sunday with this great run that Lawrence has been in? And you see that they get Sauce back, no Buckner, but how the Colts have struggled defensively and how bad they looked Monday night.
Yeah, I expect the Jaguars to really place yet again another emphasis on running the football, something they really haven't done great as of late. They've run it enough to be a multiple you know, to be an offense that can threaten you through the air and on the ground, but they haven't reached that apex of that 190 plus rushing yards like they did against the Los Angeles Chargers back in November in quite some time. And so that has really been a point of emphasis from Liam Cohen and the coaching staff throughout the course of the week. And I think they're going to be able to run on this Colts defense that, while I know Lou Anarumo is going to shore things up from Monday night, it kind of looked like, with all due respect to Gus Bradley, it kind of looks like the Gus defense, the cover three we saw the last few years when the Jaguars and Colts squared off. And when you would see those soft spots in the zone that Trevor Lawrence was really able to capitalize on. If you go back through, boys, Trevor Lawrence, statistically speaking, EPA per play, if you go through the top 10 games of his career, at the very least in the top six, there are three games against the Indianapolis Colts. So I do anticipate they'll be able to move the ball more. I'm also curious that Sauce Gardner's really going to go with a calf strain after just one full practice in the last 3 weeks, after what we saw from Daniel Jones the last time these two teams played, let alone Tyrese Halliburton in the NBA Finals Game 7. I understand the Colts have their backs against the wall and a 3% chance to make the postseason, but if I was Chris Ballard and Shane Steichen and the Ursay sisters, I'd be stepping in and saying, let's protect the player from himself. That's just me. Probably not going to have Charvarius Ward, I'm assuming, either. And so to that point, that says to me, yes, the Jaguars should be able to move the ball if they continue to play the way they have the last month in particular.
Now, having said all of this about the team, if the playoffs started today, they would host the Buffalo Bills. Is that the worst case scenario for the wild card weekend?
No, because I think that the Bills defense has proven time after time that you can run on them and you can throw on them. Josh Allen certainly presents a challenge. James Cook certainly presents a challenge. But even with Jordan Lewis now on the injured reserve list for the rest of the year, I would take my chances with the Jaguars corners, maybe not household names, but I would take my chances with them going up against you and me as the wide receivers for the Buffalo Bills, because last I checked with Keon Coleman and Gabe Davis, coaches' decisions not to play. I mean, Khalil Shakir is a good player, but at the same time, he's one guy. And the tight ends have been up and down for the Bills throughout the course of the season. And the Jaguars have gotten better after that 3-touchdown performance by Brock Bowers in their first game back from the bye going up against tight ends. They must have heard me complain on every single program from ESPN Radio to Action Sports Jax. I just kept lamenting about out in the right flat, a tight end or a wide receiver just scooted out there. Take all the room you need. They got the memo there, and they've started to shore up the short passing game from their opponents. And so, yeah, I don't think the Bills would be an awful matchup by any stretch of the imagination. And when you talk to people in the building at the Miller Electric Center, they'll tell you they do not care who they have to play. They've proven that through their 11-4 mark so far this season. They will play anyone and anywhere. Just roll the ball out.
Quickly here, like 10 seconds, the best number anywhere on Liam Cohen to win Coach of the Year is here at Circa. They're in five different states, 9-1. Worth a stab in your opinion?
I'd sprinkle it depending on what happens the next two games to Ben Johnson and the Bears and Mike Vrabel and the Patriots. If those two teams have a loss or two, yeah, I'd absolutely sprinkle a little bit on the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Follow her on X at Mia O'Brien TV. Superb job as always, Mia. Again, happy belated Christmas. Have a great weekend. Thanks for the time.
Right back at you, boys. Happy New Year.
There you go. Neil O'Brien on the Progressive Guest Line, ESPN Radio in Jacksonville. Up next, win some, lose some. You won't believe what Turpin did. And also Addison. Paulie's going to share the numbers with you coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Professional sports bettor Brad Powers joins the program. You can follow him on X at BradPower7. Website is BradPowerSports.com. Happy belated, merry belated Christmas. Brad, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Yeah, right back at you guys. Happy holidays. Good to see you guys working on the day after Christmas.
Let's begin with this. Your reaction to the hiring of Kyle Whittingham, 5-year deal. It's official now over at Michigan.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, everyone seems to be like really positive about it. I guess I'll be contrarian. I'm not. I think Michigan probably could have done better. I would have went younger. It's a young man's game. 66, never coached, east of the Rockies for, almost his entire career. Done it. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer and done a wonderful job at Utah. They won 10 games this year. But I just, from a recruiting aspect, from an NIL portal, transfer portal, I don't know if Kyle Whittingham's way up there for, this is the guy I want leading my program for the next 5 years. And, everyone signs a 5-year deal or something, but I mean, that's the ultimate, you know, how great can this be? I would say maximum is 5 years. And I just, that's best case scenario. And I just, to me, when I'm making a coaching hire in today's day and age, I want best case scenario to be 10 plus years and not worried about, you know, good chance, you know, 50-50 chance I'm making another coaching hire in 2.5-3 years. And I think that'll be the case. If you look at Michigan's schedule next year, it's a lot tougher than this year's. And and Kyle Whittingham to me doesn't scream the ability to retain most of the roster from a recruiting aspect. So I think I'd put Michigan's win total next year at 7.5-8. I'm not buying it.
Okay. So if you wanted to go younger, how about Dillingham or what happened? We were told it was going to be Jed Fish.
Yeah, both those guys were you know, basically shoo-ins. I mean, I was definitely told Dillingham so much that I made a big bet anti-Arizona State in the bowl game because I thought if he'd leave, it would be a mass exodus there. So I was told that was a done deal. What was that, almost 2 weeks ago? Never came to fruition. That would have been a much better hire as far as I'm concerned. So, that's – I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's, you know, they had to make a hire like this because the athletic director is going to be out the door and should be here soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know everything going on behind the scenes. But, again, where everyone's praising it, I just – to me, I don't see it. So because I'm all about recruiting and the ability to create a roster year in and year out, and I just don't know if that's – Whittingham's strong suit at this point.
In general, have you been betting unders in bowl games? I bring it up because right now, New Mexico, the best thing about this game, watching it right now, New Mexico's jerseys by a mile. They lead 3-0, under 9 minutes to play in the second quarter. In game totals down to 33.5, Brad.
Not as much as I should be. You know, a few here and there. It's been hit or miss this bowl season for my bowl betting. So it's basically 50-50. I can tell you this. If you had a crystal ball, and we'll just use the consensus open. I know there's a lot of numbers out there. Let's just use the consensus open. Say you had a crystal ball and you could predict every line move with 3 points or more, side or total. Congratulations, you're 4-9 so far.
Oh,
Tuesday night.
Getting the absolute best number. Yep. So, again, I don't know that, you know, even guys like myself or anybody out there really knows. It's just all, you know, shrug your shoulders. I don't know. I can get in front of a market like a la Louisville the other day. My 6.5 closes 12, but that doesn't guarantee crap as far as cashing a ticket.
That was brutal. Yeah, up 21-3. Yep. Condolences on that one. How about the game tonight? FIU, UTSA, 57.5 up to 62, and UTSA laying 7 now.
Yeah, I was, you know, again, it's moved quite a bit, but, you know, favorite today is where I finally bet the favorite. I laid the 5. This was, you know, over makes sense because if you look at the transfer portal and the opt-outs, it's almost exclusively on the defense side of the ball for both teams. I mean, FIU's entire secondary is out. UTSA's missing 6-7 starters on defense. So I understand the movement towards the over. Again, I'm not running to the window with how bowl games have fared so far and going over a total with a 6 beside it. So let's pass on that and lean on the side. Looks like UTSA is fully functional on offense, and I just think that there's, I know it's 2 G5 teams, but the American is so much stronger than Conference USA.
Okay. How about some of the games that we have tomorrow? 8, by the way, on the schedule.
Overboard.
Right. No kidding. So I bet under Clemson, Penn State, 48.5. That's down to 47.5 now at some spots. And also Clemson's down below the key number of 3. This is only down to 2.5 here. Just a ton of opt-outs. That was my angle with it. And I was kind of hoping that nothing would happen in this game. Anything here to make at this point?
Yeah, it'd be my best bet for tomorrow. I gave that. We did a show. I did a show a couple hours ago, and that was the best bet we gave out for tomorrow. You know, under. It's only moved a half point. We're looking at like 10 starters out for both teams. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is a true exhibition. And what happens when you get exhibition? Well, you think NFL preseason. You think, you know, these new football leagues like the American Football League or the USFL. And what do you always get with that first game, that first week of action? You get extremely low totals. So when you basically have a bunch of scrubs and backups, it's not like you have high totals. So I'm with you. Also, obviously outside in the Bronx, Yankee Stadium, going to be super cold. Could be some weather. I don't think it's going to be a total, you know, they're expecting some snow, but I don't know if it'll be during the game. Under 48 for me.
Okay, I was watching your show, and you were all over the Service Academy's run, 18-3 ATS run, going back. You grabbed 3.5 in pocket with Army. It got up to 10, and now it's 7.5, 8 in the Fenway Bowl. What do you think now, Army and UConn?
Yeah, I would. I mean, Connecticut's going to have a few more guys than what I expected. I mean, it looked like it was going to be a real dumpster fire for them, maybe 10, 12 starters out. But Skylar Bell looks like their wide receiver's playing, maybe a few others. But still, with that being said, you know, it's come down to 7.5. I would still lean with Army here. Again, I'm not fading the service academies. And again, that 18-3 number is against the close. That's not against an opener. That's against the close, how they fared. I don't have to worry about opt-outs, transfer portal. I know what I'm getting. Connecticut with, you know, an interim coach and a bunch of guys in the transfer portal, I just don't see it. So Army for me.
How about Pitt from 6 up to 11 against East Carolina in a 7-point move on the under?
Yeah, I mean, originally I was liking East Carolina. When these lines came out on that opening Sunday, you know, almost 3 weeks ago, I bet 10.5, thinking I had a great, you know, was going to get a great bet. I think it got as low as 4 in some spots. But East Carolina's quarterback's out. Their OC's gone. Their DC's gone. I think Pitt, you know, obviously the last move we've seen from a 6, like you mentioned, up to 10.5 is the right move. I'm not laying 10.5 now, though. So I would say at current, with all the factors, I think appropriately priced in, it's just a pass.
Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, professional sports bettor Brad Powers. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. What's the angle? What's the play to make tomorrow night when LSU takes on Houston? Cougars laying about 1.5 in this spot.
Yeah, I'm still going to lean with Houston, but I am a little bit surprised a lot of these LSU guys are going to play. I didn't expect that to be the case with the interim coach. So I'm a little surprised by that, but you got Willie Fritz, who I think the world of. I think he's one of the best coaches, period, in college football against an interim. And obviously you're playing close to home. I just think, generally speaking, Houston will be excited to be there. LSU could care less. So I know there's a huge disparity in the strength of schedule. The strength here, but give me Houston -1.
Yeah, it's actually pick them now at Circa.
With you. A lot of money. I mean, that was as high as 3. So, I mean, you got to respect the market. But again, like I said, if you got that crystal ball, it hasn't worked out so well.
How about Georgia Tech and BYU? Actually, a good game on paper.
Yeah, really good game. Looks like Martin's out for BYU, but they're running back. But other than that, looks like they got pretty much everybody in. So I'm going to take Georgia Tech's losing their OC and a couple other guys. I'll take BYU -3.5. Although we got to watch. Looks like they could be losing some coaches to Michigan. Looks like Whittingham is going to try to go for the BYU defensive staff.
Oh, okay. Overall, what is your prediction? Break out the crystal ball on this. What will bowl season look like in 3 to 5 years?
I love bowls. I love college football. I would like to see him go by the wayside. And here's the fix to that. Expand the playoffs a little bit and then have the G5 have their own playoffs. So you still got close to the same number of teams, but we got everybody max motivation playing for something. So that would be my fix. Is it going to happen? I know we're going to go from 12 to 16 on the regular end. There's probably too many fat cat suits that want to get paid with their, you know, their cocktail shrimp and all that stuff, the bowl sponsors, for them to completely go away. But I mean, they are really becoming meaningless with each passing year. What we're going to have is more teams like Notre Dame just totally opting out.
No doubt. Would you rather have the idea of going to 16 teams in the playoff or go back to what it was a couple of years ago? 4 teams and bowl games still being meaningful?
Yeah, it's a good question. Give me the playoff. Right now, I mean, this year would have been better with 4, but the way we're trending, I think we're not going back. We're only going expanding more and more.
We'll get to the 4 playoff games coming up on the other side. ProfitX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on the national championship and Super Bowl odds. A huge holiday slate coming up in the games next week. Perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Promo code VSiN to get started. Download ProfitX today. Code VSiN. Get started now. 20% match up to 100 in bonus cash.
We'll continue with Brad Powers up next. Follow him on X at BradPower7. We'll ask him which dog or dogs will have the most bite in the quarterfinals, and does he like any of them to win outright next here on VSiN. Welcome back as we continue talking college football. Professional sports bettor Brad Powers on the Progressive Guest Line. Website is bradpowersports.com, on X at bradpowers7. All right, to the quarterfinals now. Miami taking on Ohio State. That's going to be on New Year's Eve. And the Buckeyes, the defending champs, laying 9.5. Still as high as 42.5 with that total. What is your breakdown here of this game, Brad?
I was expecting to be on Ohio State. I mean, you got to be really impressed with what Miami did against A&M, owning the line of scrimmage, particularly their defensive front, getting after A&M's offensive line. So, I mean, with that being said, do I want to lay near double digits with such a low total? No. But I guess what I'm most confident in is a matchup on the other side, that being Ohio State's defense against Miami's offense. So I'm going to go Miami team total. You might have to go far away places. 19.5, heavy juice to the under. That's fine. If you got to go locally, you're going to get something maybe 16.5-ish. But that's still fine. I don't see Miami scoring more than 14 here. So Miami team total under is where I prefer. I think Ohio State will be fine here. I mean, a lot of people are overreacting to, all four, teams last year that had a bye lost outright. Well, they were an underdog in every game. Of course they lost outright. Arizona State was an underdog against Texas. I think Notre Dame closed a favorite over Georgia. You had Boise State, a 10-point underdog. They had the bye. They lost. I mean, come on. I hate that narrative that's out there.
You said something about Ryan Day, by the way, during the break. The biggest question is, for you about him would be what?
Boy, what tempo is he going to run? I mean, is he going to run the same tempo that he ran against Michigan last year, a la loss? It was the same kind of game plan against Indiana in the Big Ten championship game. They had two drives in the second half, take up an entire 15 minutes of time of possession, 0 points because they couldn't get it done in the red zone. They're the superior team. I mean, this is, going back the last 15 years, you play with tempo when you have the superior team. You want more plays, more opportunities to flex your superiority over your opponent. So I'd like to see them pick up the pace a little bit. And I think they got an opportunity to attack Miami's back end with obviously the great wide receiver core that they have.
Well, watching one of your videos, I agree with you. That was a bad performance by Oregon. They gave up 500 yards against James Madison. So now Oregon favored against Texas Tech. And with the bugaboo and issues with Tech is all the field goals in the red zone. What do you think from Hard Rock Stadium?
Yeah, and another issue I have with Tech is the arguably the easiest Power 4 schedule of any team. And forget just who's left in the playoffs. Any Power 4 team this year, I think it's ranked in Jeff Sagarin's strength of schedule rankings like 67th in the country. So they haven't played anyone near the level of Oregon. So could there be a little bit of a shock there? I think there will be. But again, look, this time of year, I'm not going to find too much value side or total for the most part, nor should I with these games. So again, I'm most confident in what I saw from Oregon's offense, and especially with the healthier wide receiver core. So again, let's go team total Oregon over 26.5.
Ooh, all right. Interesting.
Do you think that you would like Texas Tech against any other team remaining in the playoffs, or there would be a pure fade?
It's a good question. Obviously I'd like them against like an Alabama, I guess, because I'm just not buying the Crimson Tide. Okay. Ole Miss, maybe. But again, I just have so many question marks because they haven't played anybody in the top 15, 20 in my power ranking. So again, there are still levels to college football, and it's going to be a little bit of a culture shock, in my opinion.
Rose Bowl, last time Bama was catching 7 or more, 2008 SEC title game. They were 10-point dogs and lost by 11. What do you think of the Rose Bowl here?
I think it's a pretty fair number. I did lay a little 6.5 on Indiana. A bet, not a best bet, just because my power rankings do have a little bit of disparity here. I just think that the market can't get – anybody would be betting Alabama plus 7.5. If you look at a lot of the public power rankings, they got this one closer to 10 in this one. Big strength of schedule disparity, but I got to respect what I saw from Indiana when they had to step up this year in the two games. We're talking on the road against Oregon and Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. They more than held their own, won those games outright. So it's a little different lane of touchdown here, but Alabama's so one-dimensional offensively. And look, they won and covered against Oklahoma, but yet it was another game this year where Alabama, the scoreboard, did not match the box score. So I think, generally speaking, they're overrated. Lean Hoosiers here.
Okay. Indiana good enough to win the whole thing?
No, I got Oregon beating them in the rematch. And obviously, my favorite's going to be the winner of Georgia and Ohio State.
Yeah. And then, so does that mean that you also like the Bulldogs here in a rematch against Ole Miss with laying the points?
Yeah, if you need just a traditional bet, side or total, to make, best bet for me would be Georgia minus 6.5. I know Ole Miss played them really tough in the first go around in Athens where they led through three quarters, but they played almost perfect football there for 45 minutes and still, you know, ended up losing by eight. And, you know, obviously there was some adjustments back and forth. Kirby, made some adjustments finally in that fourth quarter and shut down Ole Miss. I just think this is the game where, you know, Ole Miss is going to miss Lane calling plays against, you know, the brainchild of Kirby Smart's defense. So I didn't think, Ole Miss easily won it covered. I bet him in the first round game, but Tulane moved the football too, put up 400 yards on him. I think if we get the Georgia a la against Texas, you know, one of the final regular season games that we saw, a big game, and obviously we get the Georgia that we saw in the SEC championship games, particularly on defense, they're as good as anybody in the country, and I'm willing to lay the 6.5.
What if it's the Georgia offense that showed up against Georgia Tech?
Yeah, good question. That's why it's only 6.5 here. Right. So fair enough. And okay. I bet him that game, and it was pathetic.
What's Georgia, Ohio State?
Line, I would say Buckeyes 2.5, 3.
Ooh.
And then what would you make Oregon against Indiana?
Indiana will be a slight, obviously some of it's going to be dependent on these games and the outcomes there, but I would say Indiana slight favorite by maybe two.
You mentioned your love with the service academies and how strong they've been, ATS. Are you on Navy against Cincinnati January 2nd?
I am on Navy. Okay. Obviously numbers, you know, they flip from dog to 7-point favorite. So it's a massive move. But again, a bunch of guys out for Cincinnati. I think some people say, oh, it's just, you know, it's a bunch of guys in their secondary. Well, keep in mind, Navy throws the football a lot more than they used to. I mean, they have their all-time leading receiver, Heidenreich. I don't question the motivation, who's opting out. I think Horvath and Heidenreich and Teska, all of the guys that are playing their final game, it'd be very meaningful. I don't like Satterfield as a coach, period. So Navy for me, I think they blow him out.
Okay. Did you bet Tennessee, Illinois? Right now, the vol is about 2.5, total 61.5.
I did, but numbers matter. You kind of, you know what kind of number I got on Illinois above a touchdown. But again, numbers matter. I'd be more than willing to lay the 2.5 now if I had to make a bet. And that was the first number. It's always for me, hey, do you hedge some of these? The question I always ask myself, well, would I make that bet originally if that was the first number I saw? Tennessee -2.5, I think, is worthy of a bet. Even though the market's moved big time against them, they'll have the crowd edge. They have some opt-outs, obviously, but not as much as you think. So Tennessee for me.
Great question that you have to ask yourself for sure. How about Iowa against Vandy? And the current number right now, Vandy about 4.5, total 47.5.
I lean Iowa. I think Iowa's a sneaky team. I got them in the top 20 of my power ranks. Keep in mind, they were very close to beating Oregon and Indiana. Should have probably won at least one of those games. So. They're going to be buttoned up. They got a lot of NFL talent, but it looks like everybody, all hands on deck for Vanderbilt. Should be one of the better bowl games, but I know Iowa doesn't have that, you know, ceiling like a Vanderbilt does, but man, their floor to me is higher, and that's more important to me in bowl season. So Iowa plus the points.
What do you do with Texas, Michigan at this point with everything that's going on with that Michigan program now in the offseason here?
I did finally bet the game. It was about 2 days ago. I finally laid some points. Not one of my favorite bets, but I did lay some 6.5. It was extra juice. Texas is going to be down like 10 starters and like six or seven on defense alone. But Michigan, I expect to be. I don't expect much out of the Wolverines. In fact, we're going to hear a lot more guys being out here in the coming days.
Great to talk to you. Appreciate your time. Happy New Year. And good luck to you. We'll catch up soon. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Phenomenal job. Phenomenal. Brad Powers. That was excellent. FanDuel has two Week 18 games up. The Niners are 1.5 at home to Seattle, and Tampa Bay's 3.5 at home to Carolina.
And they were just 3 on the road at Carolina? Now 3.5?
Yep. Good job putting that up.
Yeah, go ahead. Might as well San Francisco and Seattle, right?
Yeah. We're live all New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We're on live for the second year in a row during the Rose Bowl in play, halftime numbers.
Sunset.
You got it. They moved it up. Moved the start time up. Finally, we did it. Sugar Bowl doesn't get over at midnight on the East Coast anymore. Full regular programming both days. VSiN by the books at 7 a.m. Numbers game, prop points, money moves. Kick off the new year. We'll be right here with the college football playoff. Spend your new year with VSiN. The nonstop home for sports bettors.
We can shovel dirt on their championship casket. Real or Fugazi next.